so much. And God, we are here just to praise you, God, for your beautiful name. God, what a wonderful, powerful, beautiful name it is. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill this room. We want to feel your presence. We want to be filled by you. Lord, I pray that you just be with Brother Joe now as he comes and speaks your word. God, the word that you gave to him, God, I pray that you encourage us with that. And God, that you be lifted up. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Come on now. All right, got the thumbs up back there. I'll be preaching from John chapter 11. Title of the message is Worth the Wait. It's about a family that Jesus had a relationship with, and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it's dealing with death, and as I thought about death, and I see y'all are on Sunday evenings, it's 1 minute after death, or is I think is the title of it. I've been watching some videos of people that have passed away and clinically died, and then sometimes it's a few hours after death. There was one guy that that passed away. And on the table, and the cardiovascular guy said he was praying, and the guy had been delivered to the morgue, and the doctor said, "We need to see if we can get this guy." He said, "God has impressed it upon me to go, and that he can be brought back to life." And so anyway, they were signing death certificates and everything. He was in the morgue, and they pulled him out, and they did not want to continue. They thought that the doctor was crazy, and they got the paddles and followed the doctor's orders anyway, and that guy came back to life, and then he tells his testimony about being dead, what happened, and he was not a Christian. And he said he could see things going on, and there were these beings that were carrying his body off, and he said, "I wasn't going to heaven." And anyway, comes back to life, he becomes a Christian, and he's got a powerful testimony. The doctor's got a powerful testimony about actually almost having verbal altercations with staff to go ahead and bring him out and put the paddles on him because he had been declared dead. Anyway, God can do great things. And as my title says, worth the wait. There's a little poem. It said it's on a headstone in New England, and it says, the headstone reads, "Remember friends as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare yourself to follow me." Well, somebody decided that they would add a little bit on to that guy's headstone. And they wrote on there, "To follow you, I'm not to content until I know which way you went." We need to know which way we're going. And we can know that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading in John chapter 11, verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Okay, Jesus has gotten notoriety. He's gotten relationships. The disciples have been with him, and they've seen what's going on. The Jews are plotting to kill Jesus. And so there's a lot going on here. And there's a trust there. You see, Mary and Martha are sending for Jesus. They trust him. All right, we know. He's healed people. He's even brought people back from the dead after they passed away. It was generally right after they passed away that, I mean, Jesus would bring them back to life. And so they've sent messengers, and they've made it to Jesus. And I thought it was interesting the way it says it. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And then the next verse, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed there two more days in the place. So he loved them. It says he loved them, so he stayed two more days. It didn't. If we'd have been reading Mark, the book of Mark says immediately he left, in different places. It uses that term 35 times, immediately. But here, Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. The sisters are worried about him. He loves them, so he stayed. And you're like, okay, Jesus knows that he's sick, and he loves them, so he stayed. Okay, so there's a point to it. I mean, you and I would go, "Wow, man, got to get there. Take off. It's time to get going. That's a two-day walk for us. It's over 20 miles. We would have to walk, and in the desert, it's going to take you 2 days." Well, Jesus stays two more days in there and doesn't leave until after 2 days. And so I'm sure the hours are, the minutes are turning into hours for Mary and Martha. They're like, whew, when's he going to get here? And the messengers show up and they're like, where's Jesus? Where is he? And they're thinking, well, he'll be on in a minute. He's got his group of disciples, and they're not quite as quick as the messengers. And so he'll be here, and they're waiting and waiting. Have you ever been somewhere and you're waiting? They trusted Jesus and they thought, well, he's going to get here quick. He's going to be here just as fast as he can. But they're waiting. When I was 19, it was like 1984, my dad worked for the railroad for 44 years, and he could get passes on trains. And my brother lived in Paducah, Kentucky. And so it was spring break. I was at Mississippi College, and so my dad had gotten me a pass, and I was going to get on the train in Jackson, the city of New Orleans, and ride up to Fulton, Kentucky, which is a little less than an hour away from Paducah, Kentucky. My brother would pick me up about 1 a.m. at the depot, the train station there in Fulton, Kentucky. And so it's about 5 p.m. I get on the train in Jackson, Mississippi. And we start heading north, and we don't leave out of Canton before we've hit a pickup truck on trying to beat the train. And so we're sitting there, and it's getting dark, and the conductor comes through, and he said, "We've hit a pickup. There's going to be a delay, and so we're going to be late getting up to y'all's destinations." And so we sat there, and he said, "We're waiting on the coroner." He said, "As soon as the coroner gets here and releases us, we'll leave." And so eventually the coroner leaves and lets us leave, and we're running almost 2 hours behind schedule. Well, it's before everybody had cell phones. And so my brother calls, and he calls about 8 o'clock, and they say, well, it's somewhere around 2 hours behind schedule. And so should be into Fulton, Kentucky sometime around 3 a.m. Well, the conductor, my dad was a conductor, the conductor's walking through the cars, and he says, he's asking people, what stop are you? And I told him I was getting off in Fulton, Kentucky, and he said, we're going to slow down a little bit. You just jump off with your suitcase. And he was just playing with me. But he said, If nobody is getting on the train and nobody's getting off the train, we're going to zing on through the stops. And so I'm watching the lights, and I can see the street lights, and they're zing, 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 and we're moving. And so conductor comes through, just making sure we're headed to Chicago. We're trying to get on schedule. Well, about, 10:30, 11 o'clock, he said, we're getting close to being back on schedule. I don't know how fast we were going, but we were moving and we weren't making stops. And so at a little after 1, I get out at Fulton, Kentucky. My brother's supposed to be there to pick me up. It's a light rain, and the guy that's at the train station, he said, you got somebody picking you up? And I said, yes, sir, my brother's supposed to be here, but he's not here yet. And So he said, well, I got to lock up this station. I got to get to another depot. And he said, you're going to have to go outside. And I'm looking, and it's just dark out there. It's drizzling rain. There's nothing to get under except, this was the day, there was just one of those little pedestals with a payphone. And it wasn't a phone booth. It was, you could get up under it a little bit. And so I get out and I'm like, man. And I could, off out at a distance, I could hear some music and some dim lights, and there's stuff going on out there. But it wasn't something I wanted to go to, I didn't think. And so 19-year-old from rural Mississippi wasn't ready to hop into that situation, didn't look like. So I'm like, well, I'm going to call. So young people won't know what I'm talking about, but zero, lady picks up. And I said, I need to make a collect call to area code. And I gave her the number, and the phone rings and rings and rings. And so she said, I don't think anybody's home. I said, yes, ma'am. So I hung up. I was like, I don't want to call my parents yet. They're going to freak out. So I'm like, just stuck here waiting. I'm hoping he had something bad haven't happened to him. And then I see headlights, recognize the car. My brother pulls up. He's like, man, he's like, I woke up at like midnight and I called expecting them to say 3 a.m. And they said, right on schedule. And he said, I took off here as fast as I could. And he said, anyway, I said, well, I said, I was beginning to get a little worried. Picked me up. We had a good time. I took the train back down to Mississippi. Everything was great. But, you know, when you're expecting something, you trust somebody, you think, well, I can depend on them. And I think that's where Mary and Martha were. They were like, you know, as soon as I let Jesus know, he loves us. He loves Lazarus. He's going to be here. But the word says, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So there was a reason. There was a purpose to him tarrying, to him staying there. And you know, we want God on our timetable. When things aren't going like we want it, we're like, God, I want it, and I want it now. I want you to affect change immediately. I'm in a bad financial situation. Lord, I need some help. Lord, I'm sick. I want to be well now. Well, maybe he's making us wait to teach us something so that we can grow spiritually, so that we're not thinking, well, you know what? When I say it, God jumps. You know, he's not on our timetable, we're on his. And sometimes we just need to say, God, I know you're in control. And I know that there's a purpose behind the wait. As we look at different aspects of these verses, the name Lazarus that's the Greek or the Latinized term. His name is in Hebrew Eleazar. God is my help. God helps me. And so I thought it was fitting The name of the town is Bethany. You know, Bethlehem, you all know what Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. That's where Jesus was born, bread of life. Bethel, a lot of Bethel Baptist Church, Beth, that's house of God. Beth meaning house, El, the term for God. Bethany is house of the poor. So more than likely, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were not real wealthy people. They were living in the poorhouse. As my mom would say, we're going to wind up in the po house. So probably not real prominent people lived in Bethany. But they were prominent enough, they meant enough to Jesus that he came. They were loved by Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter if we are rich or poor. Jesus cares about us. He loves us. He desires a relationship with us. He wants to be a part of our lives. But the choice is ours. Scripture says, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is standing at the door knocking, but it's up to us to let him in. He's not going to knock us down. Sometimes he does. Sometimes it's a car wreck. Something catches our attention and causes us, but he's not going to force himself on. He will simply provide the opportunity. He's standing and knocking. He desires to be a part of our lives. If we keep telling him no, if we never answer that door, he respects it and says, that's your decision. It's our decision to accept him. It's our decision to reject him. So Jesus has been, in this passage, has been notified. A lot of times there's a disappointment in a divine delay. You know, God has answered all of my prayers. Maybe not like I wanted them. Maybe not in the time frame that I wanted. But he's done it in his perfect way. And that's what we see in this passage. There's a divine delay, but it's because of God's purpose. So Jesus finally gets there. Let's pick up again in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, I've never heard of anybody coming back to life after 4 days. There's been people that have been dead for minutes, and that guy had been dead hours that I was speaking of, but not a four-day period. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary arose, rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? I think it's interesting. It's almost an accusation there. Both Mary and Martha say, Lord, if you'd gotten here in time. And the Jews were saying, Yeah, if he'd have just gotten here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. No. A lot of times in our lives, we're like, God, if you just hurry up. Lord, just pick up the pace a little bit. I know you're going to get me through it, but Lord, make it sooner than later. But Jesus has a purpose to the wait, and it's worth the wait. You see, I think it shows Jesus's his love. He cared about the hurt that those people were suffering. He cares about your hurt. He cares what you're going through. A lot of times we hear people say, Well, you know, I've been praying, but it feels like it's bouncing off the ceiling. Jesus is with us. If we're believers, he is with us. Our prayers aren't bouncing off the ceiling. He's listening to every word of our prayers. He hears us. He knows the pain that we're going through. He knew what Mary and Martha were going through, and it hurt him in his heart because he loved them, and he didn't want to see them hurt. He cares about us. Jesus cares about people that hurt. And he's got the power to make a difference. God has the power. Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. This kind of reminds me of Easter. All right, the stone's there. I mean, this was the typical way of you put them in a cave, you roll the stone up against it, and that's it. It says, verse 39, Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, my mom's name was Martha. Martha, and my mama related to Martha. She was like, Mary should have been jumped in there and been cooking and cleaning the house. Mary had her gifts of compassion and listening, and probably was a greater teacher. Martha was a get things done. I'm going to tell you what I think. It's going to stink you roll that stone away. She going to tell you like it is. That's kind of the way my mama was. She was a tough woman. She grew up poor in the Depression. She was one of the, there were people that were doing okay, and then there were the poor people. She was the one in the po' house. She didn't have electricity. They didn't have vehicles. She went back and forth to town in a mule wagon, and they picked cotton. They worked. What they grew, they ate. They didn't have a lot of money extra. A friend of mine talks about his grandmother would wash ceramic wrap. Said that she just saved everything. She washed aluminum foil. He said she was going to use it over and over again. My mama was kind of that way. She related to Martha, and Martha kind of tells it like it is. There's going to be a smell, Jesus. I don't know that you want to roll that stone away. In verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So Jesus shows, I am the resurrection. I've got the power over death. The Jews believed, somebody might come to life if they'd been dead a day. Maybe 2 days. 4 days, no. We don't see that. You can go on the internet and you can find people that have been clinically dead for minutes or hours, but you don't see somebody that's been dead 4 days. Jesus has the power over death. And it was worth the wait. Jesus said, "I'm going to teach you something that you won't get if I get there early." I was telling Laura when I was, I used to drive a school bus for a friend of mine. It was the short bus for the special ed, and still remember those kids. This has been 20 years ago. And then I drove the school bus for Laura. She teaches school at Clinton, and I would drive the school bus for her trips and things with her students. But I can remember one of the old coaches that taught the bus driving school, and he would say, "A school bus driver is never early, but may be late." He said, "Don't get there 10 minutes early and you got kids scrambling, running, trying to grab stuff." He said, stay at the stop until you get on time. Don't get ahead of schedule. He said, "You'll be driving parents crazy." He said, but you can be late. He said, if things slow you down, he said, it's okay to be late. Just don't be early. Jesus is right on time. He's got a heavenly schedule. And it's to get as many people as he can into heaven. Scripture tells us that he doesn't tarry. He's waiting. Because there's other souls out there. And when that last soul accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior, when the bus is full, that's when he's coming. He's not going to come till that last soul has come to a relationship. I don't know. He could come this afternoon. Are you ready? Jesus is waiting for us. You know, we may say, well, I'm waiting for, I can remember, I like to do these things before I accept Christ. When I was a teenager, I think I'm going to have some fun before. Didn't know how much more fun it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to have your faith in him and your eternity sealed. Life is much better when you've got that relationship and there's not a question. A number of years ago, when the boys were younger, and we all went to bed. I woke up about 1 in the morning, and I was having chest pain. And I got up. I didn't say anything. I just got on my phone. I was like Googling symptoms of a heart attack. And so I'm like, I may be having a heart attack. And so I get reading. I'm like, well, I don't know. So Laura comes and she looks at my phone. She's like, you think you're having a heart attack? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, I'm going to call 911. Well, the fire department came. They did an EKG on me. And they were like, he's having a heart attack. We're getting an ambulance coming this way. And ambulance came. They gave me a nitroglycerin, told me to put it under my tongue. And I put it under my tongue. And they got me on the gurney. And they loaded me up. And they said, where do you want to go? I said, Baptist Hospital. My sister's a cardiac rehab nurse there. And so we're headed to Baptist. Well, that nitroglycerin tablet kicked in. My blood pressure started dropping. I was passing out. And ambulance, the assistant in the back said, hey, his blood pressure's dropping. We're losing him. Run the next traffic lights. And so we're going through. We pull into Baptist anyway. After everything was over with, they said, well, you had a virus. You didn't really have a heart attack. Their EKG was terrible. They didn't do something right. And so anyway, I was like, whoo. But you know, on my way there, I was praying and I said, Lord, I know where I'm going. I know it's a better than this earth, and I know you can take care of my wife and children better than I ever could. Lord, if you want to take me home, I'm ready to go. You can have that assurance today. You don't have to worry. This world offers all kinds of things, but it doesn't offer eternal life. Jesus Christ offers eternal life. It's a free gift. He wants you to accept it. He's teaching us every step of the way. He's growing our faith as we go through life. A lot of times it's not on our time because he's got his own timetable to teach us. Let's go, God, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Father, we thank you for making us wait and grow in our faith. Father, we thank you for Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to die on the cross for our sins and to give us eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God has spoken to your heart this morning, perhaps you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If He's spoken to your heart this morning and you'd like to publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that you do so this morning. Would you stand?
Hymn of invitation is "Just As I Am." Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God,
Brother Joe. We all need that reminder that nothing's impossible with God. Just another reminder about next week, potluck supper. Bring for that person you're going to invite also. We're going to have plenty. And Lottie Moon Christmas, or Lottie Moon, excuse me, Annie Armstrong Easter offering. My tongue is tangled up today. Is the envelopes are out in the foyer. We'll be taking it through the month of April. Glad to have you again, Brother Joe. We appreciate the words you had this morning. Jack?
Got an announcement over here. Okay, if you didn't hear that, donations for Vacation Bible School will be at each door. She has some children set up, so you can donate there with the buckets. That it? And the sign-up sheets are on the bulletin boards if you want to help participate in that. All right. It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And Brother Joe, I want to tell you, man, it's going to be all right if you take a sip of this water. I saw you pick it up twice. You put it back down and never took a sip. We won't get on to you if you take a sip. It'll be all right. Been a good day, and I've just been so good to be here with y'all and worship the Lord with y'all. And so anyways, let's sing "I'll Fly Away" as we leave. All right.
Some that hold me when this fight is so right.